Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you and welcome to Sober Indians Live Wednesday night. My name is Karen. I'm your host. And tonight we have Codeine Spotted Horse. Thank you for coming on the show tonight.
You're welcome.
Can we start with you telling everybody just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go into your story.
Okay, my name is Codeine Spotted Horse. My birth date is 5/6/81. I'm from the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation. I'm currently working in recovery. I completed a lot of stuff. Right now, I'm currently working on getting my children back, and that you guys will all hear it in the story.
Okay. You want to kind of tell us what started the journey from the into recovery? Because I know that
I know you're fine. I'm totally fine about talking about it. Okay, so my, I guess, addiction started at the age. I won't go into like the details to. You know, I have abandonment issues. I lost my dad at 16. Lost him at 16. I was, you know, good in school up until the point where I lost my grandmother and my dad. And everything just started, you know, spiraling backwards. And I didn't know. I was 16 years old. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't understand it. So I just kind of, you know, didn't care, you know, that type of attitude. So I start, you know, not caring, not listening, not. And from that point on, it's like I went spiraling backwards, and I was like, I didn't get good grades after that. I bounced around from school to school, from family member to family member, just trying to understand what I was going through. And I kind of, from 16, I got into drinking. I smoked my first cigarette. I chewed my first pinch of chew. I went to jail for the first time at 17. I did everything that I was very defiant. I was very, very defiant. I was angry. I was emotional. So then I started fighting. I started getting in trouble. And I started, then that's when I started going school to school, because I started getting kicked out of every school that I went to for fighting. So as, you know, this pattern went on, and 17 years old, and then like almost 18 years old, I got pregnant with my first child, and I was running away. I was, at that point, I was still a runaway. I was running from my auntie at the time that was trying to take care of me. I was running from her. I was running from town to town. I was drinking. I was going everywhere with anybody. I had the I don't care attitude. So, you know, I got pregnant. I found out I was pregnant. I came home, had my baby in 98, kind of, you know, settled down. But at the same time, I was still missing my dad. I was missing my grandma, and I was still. And so, like, my baby was there. My mom was there. I had my baby, and I was trying to take care of him. I started to stay with my mom. Then at that point, I didn't know how to take care of a baby. So I took off again. I took off with the dad. At that time, I didn't know what I was doing. I was taking my baby everywhere. You know, it was my baby. No, I'm not going to leave him nowhere. That type of attitude. My dad's gone. Nobody's going to help me. just like that. So I just kept doing what I was doing, and then I got like, I didn't know how to deal with none of it. For the longest time, I didn't know how to, I didn't know what counseling was. I didn't know what getting help was. I didn't know none of that. All I knew was, you know, I found the drinking, the smoking cigarettes, the chewing, the smoking weed, all that type of stuff was helping me. So I did that for a while, and then I did that for the longest time, actually. And then 2008 is when, by then I had like seven kids, and I got into the harsher stuff, the pills. I'm an opiate and meth addict in recovery right now. I got into, at that, in 2008 is when I got into the pills. You know, I started, I ran into fast making money. That's what I did. That's what I found. That's what I fell in love with. So I started doing that. And as years into that, I started doing the pills. I started doing them, and I just, it helped me numb this pain that was slowing me, that I felt like it was slowing me down. I loved the feeling of the numbness that it gave me. So I continued to do this for the longest time. I was, you know, I did some really bad stuff. And, you know, I'm okay to talk about it now because I don't do it no more, but I did this for years. I got so bad into the opiate use that I was mixing the strongest opiates that there was. And, you know, doing the lines, injecting it, smoking it, anything that I could do to get that numbness. And 2015, I had, by then I had my kids, we were struggling, I was working, we were still struggling, we had my house, by that time I had my house for 16 years, we were struggling, I had a house, I had a car, I had a job, but we were struggling. I had just enough to pay enough for the bills to stay on, enough to feed my kids for that day, or maybe till the next paycheck. So like I got my kids taken in 2015 because of my addiction, because of my careless acts that I've done. And so that's when the harsher drug came into play. I did that for about maybe 5 years without anybody knowing. Nobody knew that what I was doing. I didn't tell anybody. In my mind, I was like, nobody was there for me. They don't deserve to know what I'm doing. They shouldn't know what I'm doing. It's not their business. So I went on. I proceeded to do what I did with the drug methamphetamine. And from that point on, it's when I lost everything. I completely lost everything. I lost my kids. I lost my house. I lost my Cadillac. I lost my van. I lost everything. And I almost lost my own life. I was lifelighted out by helicopter to Rapid City because I had an overdose. And at that point, I still didn't care. I was like, no, I'm not going to get my kids back. So, no, I don't need to quit. I want my kids back. And I still didn't understand what was going on. Like, they took my kids from me. I'm okay now. I didn't understand that there was a long process of doing things. I wanted that instant gratification, and I didn't get it. So it's like, okay, well, I don't care. I'm going to keep doing this. So I kept doing it. I've done some pretty bad stuff with this drug. I've sold it. I've done it every which way you can. I've injected it. I smoked it. I mixing the opiates, you know, while I was on meth. I drank. And I'm not really a drinker, but I just threw that in there because I wanted, thought I was, so I did a little bit of everything. I mixed them, calling them cocktails. It was, I did a lot of bad stuff and I'm not happy about it, but I can tell you today that I'm, as of February 23rd of 2021, I'm 10 months clean, completely clean. I have no pills, no meth, no nothing. I've currently got my own place of residence. And I'm currently getting my kids back. I've gotten a job. I held a job since August, completely clean and sober.
Congratulations for those
10 months
of sobriety.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's work. It's serious work. You know, I have people asking me today, you know, how do you do this? You know, you make it look so easy, you make it look so fun, and I'm like, it's work. Girl, it's work. And I went to treatment. I mean, this is like, the town that I'm in right now is like ground zero for me. Everything happened to me here in this town. Everything. My addiction, it started here. And it's work. I put in work every day. I have God, I have a program, and I have ways that I do things that helps me.
I was going to ask you at 16 when this began, was peer pressure, was there any peer pressure that was part of that, or just
peer pressure. No, there was no peer pressure. It was like, it started off like recreational. It just took off from there. And it was like, after I tried a certain pill, or when I did meth, it's like, it was the numbness that I was chasing. I didn't want to feel. I didn't want to cry. I didn't want to do none of that. I didn't want to care. I didn't, you know, that's what I was looking for, and that's what it was helping me with.
What was it that you decided, what was the breaking point for you to change?
To quit? In 2017, my daughter, at 2017, they were in the state of South Dakota. My daughter was in the Abbott House, and we had a phone visit one day, and I've always had my kids all the time. So when we had this visit, and I was here, we were talking on the phone, and she goes, and she kind of got upset with me, and she was like, she just bluntly said, "Mom, what's taking you so long to fix this problem? You always fix our problems, and I want to come home." So that's like that point right there. It's like I started crying so bad, and since then I've been fighting for my life, trying to get better. And I did get better. And I'm still doing it daily.
Well, I think you're an awful strong person. I really do.
Thank you.
And kids have a way of saying things. You're very welcome to have a way things and really kind of.
Yeah, that kind of. And she's my motivation still today. We talk on the phone sometimes daily. I'm actually going to have her for a home visit here tomorrow until Friday. And the talks that we have, she's my motivation. they all my kids are, but like she just bluntly tells me things. And it's sometimes it's the stuff that I need to hear.
I was going to ask you too, because I know that we're limited on time because of keeping in work this evening. But Sober Indian, the group, how has that impacted your life?
The Sober Indian group, it impacts my life so much. There's so much people on there that show a lot of support, a lot of love, a lot of respect, a lot of everything. A lot of everything that an addict like me needs. And it's made it even, I mean, every day when I go on there and I see a post and it's like, okay, well, they're doing it too. Like, you know, I'm not alone. So I love it. It's made a great impact on my life. Let me know that I'm not alone.
I do a lot of reading too when I go on, and I see a lot of love and compassion. It's amazing support from each and every person that's posting on that group page that day. And I think it's a fantastic group. I think something that
it is. It's an amazing group. It's an amazing group, and when I see people from the same town as me on there, it's like, wow, I know that person. That's cool. I like that group. I love the Sober Indians group.
Sorry for the noise. You hear the noise. That was not expected. Oh, my God. I don't know. I really don't know what else to ask. Is there anything that you want to say to just openly say?
I will add that, you know, if anybody out there is struggling, I can tell you that we do recover. I'm here. I'm on the Sober Indians page every now and then, but you guys can always reach out to me and talk. We do recover. It is possible. And with the program and with your higher power, whatever it may be, mine's God. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. With God, for me, with God in a program, we do recover.
Is there anybody that you would like to mention?
My treatment team, I believe some of them are on the page. My treatment team, people, my brothers and sisters in recovery, I know some of you must have got to be listening. I love you guys. My treatment team here, just everybody that has supported me. I love you guys. And believe me, it's too much names to name, but they know who they are. I love everybody. Paige, I just love it. There's a lot of, and I'm amazed by this group because it's so big, it's so large, and there's like a lot of people doing amazing things. Even the 24 hours, I am very proud of them. Because it is hard work. It's very hard work to get 24 hours down. But I do believe in everybody. I love everybody. And for the Sober Indians group, I just got to say, keep suiting up and showing up. Y'all are awesome.
Well, I had one more question for you, too.
Okay.
Now, I know that of the morning, when you get up now, what is usually the first thing? Because the difference between then to now, you know, your feelings when you were dealing every day and with the addiction versus the recovery now, you know, the differences from waking up every morning from then to now.
Like, what do I say in the morning?
How do you feel when you wake up? The difference between how you feel
when
now
I wake up.
Versus,
it's a big difference. Okay, in my addiction, when I used to get up, it's like, you know, it's some days I wouldn't even be sleeping. I mean, I wouldn't sleep for days at a time. And it's like when the morning comes, though, it's like I'd be looking for that next high. I'd be looking for something to sell, something to, you know, I was even filling at one point. And now compared waking up now today, I thank God every day for waking up. The peace that I have, the peacefulness, it's amazing. I love it. Before my feet touch the floor every morning, I thank God for blessing me with another day. I pray. You know, I pray for my kids. I pray for this town. I pray for everybody that's fighting for their life in recovery, because I know how hard it is. It is very hard to do recovery. But it's worth it. It is worth it. I see that now. I feel it now. It's very much worth it.
Well, I think that's great.
It's an amazing feeling, to get your kids back.
Timeline as to when that's going to happen, if you don't mind me asking.
I have one of my kids right here with me. He's sitting right next to me. The other four, we are currently doing reunification home visits, which means, you know, they come home for a visit, they go back to DSS, and then they'll come for a weekend, and then after that is when they come back home. It's going to happen, though. It's happening, and it feels really good.
I think that's great. It's great, and I commend you for 10 months of sobriety and all the work that you're putting into it. And
thank you.
You're a strong person. You're very welcome.
Again, thank you. I hear that a lot. And, you know, it's worth it. It's, you know, some days are better than the other, but it's very much worth it.
Well, we're getting down to the last few minutes. I know you did say that you were kind of limited on time because of being called into work tonight.
And yeah, it's actually my day off, but they called me into work. So
for you to come back on at a later date and chat more, if you're okay with that. We could spend an entire hour, and that way it gives you more time to talk more in depth about everything. Because I know this evening it's been a very fast, quick show.
Yes, it has. And if I could get the full hour, maybe I could tell. I only told like the bits and pieces of my story. Like I can actually tell the whole story, so maybe people would understand it better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we'll talk a little bit later, and then we'll set up another date for you to come back on and do the full hour.
Okay.
Because I really do want to be able to. Okay. All right. Well, and I appreciate you coming on for the time that you have been on this evening to chat briefly, and I hope you have a great evening.
You too. Thank you. Have a good night. I love you guys.
Thank you, and we love you guys, and you have a good evening.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight to listen. Normally, we run the show for an hour, but due to her being called into work, We were already scheduled to come on, so we went ahead and done a half hour show this evening. I will be talking to her later on about her coming back on and doing a full hour so we can go more in depth into her story. So with that being said, I want to say thank you all for tuning in and listening. Join us on Saturday night. And we have a show coming on. It'll be at 11 p.m. Saturday evening. Have a great evening, and see y'all Saturday.